You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. Check out GreatLakesDragway.com and Great Lakes Dragway on their Facebook page for all their weather updates, such as today. It's been canceled. No racing at Great Lakes Dragway because of the impending snow, which right now in our studios in Hales Corners, there is no snow.
There is none, and Milwaukee County has been reduced to an advisory.
Oh.
But where Great Lakes Dragway is, I think we're still in a warning.
Down south, they've been, it looks like the system is kind of edging a little bit further south, and the profiles and the models have said. So, be interesting to see how this develops, but
we have to wear so many hats today, Steve. You know,
we're
meteorologists.
This is / Final Inspection Show / Green and Gold Then and Now podcast. In fact, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is Jeff Orlowski. Jeff, how are you doing, sir?
I'm only wearing one hat today, so it's comfortable.
Right now, we're still at the pick is in for actually round 5, pick 146. The Packers are picking at 150. So this is the old adage where stretch. So a funny thing, I saw on the scroll that once again, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have drafted a kicker. Is it just me, or doesn't it seem like about every other year they're drafting a place kicker?
Well, there's a reason why some teams in the NFL are a complete disaster. And, if the last 15 years have showed us anything, it's that Tampa Bay gets a whole lot wrong. They definitely turned into, when you sit there and you look at Josh Rosen getting traded yesterday, he was a top 10 pick from Arizona a year before, and now he gets traded. I forgot what pick number it was. What was it, 56 yesterday?
Yeah.
So in 1 year, his value, Arizona traded up last season to draft him, give him 1 year, run him out of town because they got a new head coach in Cliff Kingsbury that not one person is sold on, but for some reason, Arizona is throwing all their, everything behind this guy, and now they take Kyler Murray. So there's a reason why the same teams are awful season after season.
I texted my buddy the Cardinals' record, 2019, 3-13, 2020, 4-12.
And let us not forget 2021,
2-14.
They beat, though.
Yo, I know.
December.
Yeah, they beat the Packers, but that was with
Coach Killer.
That was when McCrappy was still here, and that was the best loss of the season because after that loss, he got canned.
I do like the Cardinals' picks they've made today, Hakeem Butler and Delonte Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
I think that receiver from Iowa State, Hakeem Butler, he could be a sneaky pick.
It is interesting, though. I wonder how the people in Michigan feel. There's been a bunch of University of Michigan players being kicked. Is it picked? Are you think the alumni are going, well, we got all these players being drafted in these early rounds. Shouldn't we have been better? Shouldn't we have been able to beat Ohio State at least once?
I mean, their whole defense got picked already.
Yeah.
And they still can't beat Ohio State. So, that's definitely puzzling. But I'll tell you, with this Packers pick, I don't understand all the people that want them to go after another wide receiver. You sit there, we took three wide receivers
right.
in the draft last season. You paid Aaron Rodgers all this money. He's known as the most talented quarterback in the NFL. He is supposed to be able to take C-talent wide receivers and turn them into B-plus, A-minus kind of guys. So there is no way I want to waste a pick on another wide receiver this season You took three last year, which at the time I said was very arrogant, the fact that they took the three wide receivers, they took a punter, and they took a long snapper. And a team that was full of holes, that was the arrogance of the Green Bay Packers. For them to waste a pick now, even though it is day three, on another wideout would just boggle my mind.
It would. Well, we're going to see here in a few minutes who they pick. CBS Sports weighed in on the Packers pick number 12, Rashawn Gary, edge rusher from Michigan. I thought this was interesting. This is how what they wrote on the pick. He's very athletic. He's a specimen, but it doesn't translate on the field. Where's the production? He could end up being a great pick or he could be a bust. There's no in between. It's either feast or famine, and there is a shoulder concern. He may have to have soldier surgery. Mike Clemens, who's been reporting up in Green Bay, though, have kind of tempered that. We hope that the Packers staff has looked at their shoulder, and it shouldn't be an issue. Gary says it's not an issue, but they gave the Packers that pick the grade of a C-. Do you agree with that, Jeff?
Yeah. You know, I don't know everything about Rashawn Gary. I'm not one of those that's going to read somebody else's draft analysis and try passing it off on my own. I definitely saw Michigan play 2-3 times last season. He was not one person that I was cued in on that Wolverines defense. So, you know, do I know everything about this kid? Absolutely not. You know, some of the highlight films that they've showed where he does get double team, triple team, stuff like that, you know, it definitely shows why maybe his production wasn't there and why other guys on that defense were putting up better numbers because he was attracting so much attention. However, do I know that that occurred on every single play, which is why, his numbers weren't there? No, I don't. So, you know, I do enjoy college football. I don't have 5 hours to watch every college football game. Since each game takes 4 hours plus. So I'm definitely not an expert, and I don't pretend to be one, and I don't play one on TV either. And I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. So I'm more of a let's wait and see kind of guy when it comes to these guys. And, legitimately, we're not going to know for about 3 years. I just hope that he can stay healthy. I heard what you did, Steve, where the labrum isn't a huge issue. Even if it is torn, it's something that he can play the year out with and then just get a quote-unquote clean out in the off season and be ready for training camp next season as well. So I don't think that's the biggest issue. But when you do have questions regarding his heart and his desire to play, and when you're trying to sit there and play the kid out of position yet again, those are the red flags that make me more nervous.
Well, they're thinking with the speed and without having a hand on the ground, that the one thing you're kind of protecting them a bit because of that, especially the shoulder too, if you're playing them in an upright position. So maybe that's part of the how they figured it in that the shoulder issue isn't as big as they think, and then the doctors should have given them a clean bill of health too. What I like about Darnell Savage is, and this is what I've been hearing from a lot of the analysis, is that he's a perfect complement from with Amos, who we got from the Bears. So I do like that part where you got a kid with speed. Kid is fast. He's instinctive, and it's going to be a really nice dynamic between those two safeties. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I definitely think that those guys have a chance to sit there and work well together and mold well together. Yet again, we're just going to have to wait and see. There's a reason why a lot of these guys, a lot of the guys that get picked in the top five year after year are complete quote-unquote draft busts, because they just, for whatever reason, whether it's health, whether it's desire, whether they eat themselves out of the league, Eddie Lacy, there's reasons why some of these guys don't work out. Attitude, Ryan Leaf, all that kind of stuff. So, it's definitely a crapshoot. It's not a perfect science. You just got to hope that with all the misses that Green Bay has had over the last, 8 years, 10 years, that finally we're due to have a very impactful draft. And it couldn't come at a better time, because the Packers need it now more than ever in order to turn the corner and to make the last 4 or 5 good, productive years of Aaron Rodgers' career – and, you know, to be able to make a significant push to win another Super Bowl.
You kind of shake your head because, you know, I know, they all say rearview mirror is 50-50 or 20-20 vision when you look in a rearview mirror, but would have been nice if you had, T.J. Watt at this point. Would there have been a need to draft Gary at this point?
Well, exactly. And, you know, the Steelers moved up and took the linebacker from Michigan, that Bush kid, who the Packers had their eye on as well. So there's, you know, back-to-back years that basically the Steelers stole your first-round pick. You know, obviously Pittsburgh's known as a linebacker. You know, they love their linebackers out in Pittsburgh. And they do a great job developing those guys. And it seems like the perfect kind of Steelers pick there. So you're always going to sit there and think, what if? Now, the fact that Gutekunst went and that Savage was the first guy, first safety slash, you know, defensive corner that was taken in the draft. So he had his pick of the litter out of that entire group of guys, which, great, if Savage is his guy, you know, and that's who he wants to put his name and reputation behind, fine. But you also have to realize that you're going to be judged on the production of every single person at that position that got drafted behind Savage. So if all of a sudden Savage is, you know, a C to C minus kind of player, and that's his career, but you've got the guy that the second defensive backfield guy or the third that was taken after him, and all of a sudden they're Pro Bowl, going to go to the Hall of Fame, there's a mark on you as well. So it's kind of a risky pick.
Yeah, the Raiders, I thought it was the Cowboys. I think they might have traded that to the Raiders. So the Raiders at pick 149.
That was a trade.
They picked Hunter Renfrow from Clemson.
Slot receiver.
Yep. And it would have been, I know there's a lot of Packer fans, you know, you and I have talked, that don't really want him to go wide receiver, but that would have been
a
guy.
So clearly what happened here, Oakland got tipped off.
Yeah.
That the Packers might have been taking Renfrow.
It'd be interesting. And what do you think, Jeff?
Went ahead and traded up.
Well, I'm glad that they didn't take Renfrow, you know. But this is back-to-back seasons where I wish that we would have had the Steelers' choice. You know,
the pick is in for the Packers.
All right.
Try to get that live as possible here. If they do, you know, I don't think they're doing every – some teams they're doing announcements.
Right.
But the last pick they didn't do here on NFL Network.
It's interesting.
We'll see.
It's interesting, Jeff, how they said they weren't going to pick for need, but isn't it ironic that the four picks were all needs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, we're just going to pick best player available if it's at a position we want it to be. So, you know, it's the same thing. They, you know, they all lie to us. Craig Counsell says lineups aren't important, but then he comes out in spring training and says, you know, Yelich bats second because you always bat your best player second. Shaw and Jesus were struggling, and so they dropped down all the way to, like, seventh in the batting order at sometimes. And Grandal, who was seventh and is red hot, has gone all the way as high as third. So, you know, they all feed us a load of bull.
Is that the hottest hybrid receiver or position in the NFL is the white slot receiver? Is that the new popular thing to do now?
It seems to be, and you know how Packer fans love themselves their white wideouts. So he would have been a hit here for sure. So, but like I said, I'm glad they didn't take that position, and I'm kind of anxious to see. I hope they go linebacker here.
It would have been Oh my gosh, the callers would have loved it on Monday. He would have been, oh, we love it.
Yeah, I really like that Renfrow guy. They got the fifth round.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they would have figured out a way to butcher his last name, and then Renfrow would have sold about, you know, 50,000 jerseys by now.
Yeah, and the NFL Network is figuring out a way to drag this out despite it being day three, aren't they, Steve?
Yes, they are.
Well, you know, at least you.
Oh, here we go.
The last couple of years, they're always in commercial when the Packers pick.
Here we go.
Your 13-time world champion and soon to be 14-time world champion Green Bay Packers with the 150th pick in the 2019 draft select Kingsley Kike, defensive end, Texas A&M.
There it is.
Kingsley Kike.
Okay. Well, I like the position. You know, Philadelphia showed us a lot the year they won the Super Bowl by just having that never-ending string of fresh defensive linemen that they were able to shuffle in and out of the game at will. And they raised the Lombardi Trophy that year with a backup quarterback. I like that. I like the position. I don't know much about the guy, but I like the position.
Well, he was at the combine. Kike, who became a full-time starter in 2017, lining up for all 13 contests and stopping 54 ball carriers 2.5 times for losses, including a sack. Found himself in the backfield more regularly as a senior, breaking out with 51 stops, 11 for a loss, with a team-high 7 sacks for the Aggies. He was a 4-star recruit, all-state pick from Richmond, Texas. Started the final 9 games for 2016. He's 40 combine results. He did not do the bench press. He probably has a bad labrum. He did 4.95 in the 40-yard dash. And, of course, the most important thing, his broad jump, 111 inches.
Wow.
So when you see the guys running in the secondary and they do that broad jump,
uh-huh,
when they're chasing the quarterback, that's always good to know that he can do 111 inches. But 6'3" guy, 288 pounds, defensive end, Texas A&M, 34.5-inch arms.
Well, you can never have enough big uglies. So that you know, it's like I said, it's a good position. Now they need to address the linebackers. You know, and hopefully nothing happens, but, you know, if Blake Martinez goes down, we're in a world of hurt because that guy is just a tackling machine. He's all over the field. We definitely need more depth at that position.
Yeah, it was interesting that the Redskins and the Cowboys were looking at him, and he was projected to go to the Cowboys, so... Interesting pick there by the Packers. Jeff, thank you so much. We appreciate the extra bonus time with you, and we looking forward to hearing you next week.
Yeah, sounds good, boys. Thanks for having me on. Give me Clint Boyer for the win at Talladega.
Clint Boyer, book it.
And yes,
give me a long shot too.
Long shot. Give me. Long shot. Give me Ty Dillon.
Okay. So we got Boyer and Ty Dillon. Very good. Okay, Jeff,
right,
we'll talk to you next
race,
week.
Guys.
All right, thank you. That was Jeff Orlowski joining us on a great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
Coming up next, David Land from YouTube on the Final Inspection Show.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi. Presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. Unfortunately, Great Lakes Dragway is closed for today because of an impending blizzard, which has not arrived yet. But make sure to check out Great Lakes Dragway on the Facebook page to check out if they are early, if they're going to be open or closed. That's where the best place to get your up-to-date announcements on weather concerns at Great Lakes Dragway. And also, thank you, David Hobbs Honda, once again for supporting us. They are open today, so make sure you check out David Hobbs for their new and used car inventory. Check out DavidHobbs.com. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from, well, recently in Indianapolis for Indy 500 testing, it is YouTube's David Land. Welcome to the show, sir.
A blizzard? Holy smokes, it's almost May. You guys are still getting snow?
It's weird. We're supposed to get somewhere between 3 and 6 inches of snow, but according to the weather, they said it was supposed to have been already snowing. We haven't seen a drop or a flake. So, I did talk to my buddy in Chicago, who's on the west side of Chicago, ordering my George Fulmer 917-10 RC Cola car. I want you to be jealous, David. They were getting big flakes there, but it wasn't really sticking.
I am jealous of anything that's a Porsche 917. I have to say that I don't own, because that's just amazing.
I will give him a free plug here. The Motorsport Collector, my buddy Paul Zimmerman, he's selling these George Fulmer 917-10s that were used, I think, in the 73 season. RC Cola on sale for like $55. Check it out.
Ooh.
118 scale.
Okay, that's very tempting.
It very is. It's one of my favorite Can-Am cars of all time. So, and plus, I love George, friend of the show, George Fulmer. So you were in Indianapolis. It was funny because, and this is, you know, I'm working, and I take a break for lunch, and I get the live feed up there, and it looks absolutely beautiful there. We got cars in the track, and we got commentary and everything, just like the old days when I used to come home from work, and they'd have Bob Jenkins and Derek Daly doing the day-by-day stuff on ESPN. I'm thinking, oh, this is what better way to spend your lunch? Watching cars at Indianapolis. It just looks beautiful. And then I texted you, and then I'm finding out, well, just after that, the heavens opened up, didn't it?
Yeah, it was definitely not one of those days at the track that was particularly productive. It was off and on with rain. I think they actually ran cars on the track all the way up until 8 p.m. local time, and that was kind of unprecedented. And still, most of the rookies didn't get their orientation, or the veterans didn't get their refresher courses completed. So it was a bit of a mess of a day.
And I saw your walk through the garage area, which was truly entertaining for those who wanted to check it out. I enjoyed it. Especially Willpower making the aborted run to the bathroom. My wife Susan enjoyed that too. But walk us through. Who did you talk with? Did you just give us kind of a thumbnail sketch of how you enjoyed your first foray back to the Brickyard this year?
Well, it was crazy. They let me in. They let me have media credentials for the test, which is very nice of them to do. It was nice of them to kind of legitimize my platform for what it is. And I tried to just use the time to the best of my ability. You know, get up close to people, talk to folks. I got to talk to Johnny Rutherford. I did an interview with him on my channel about McLaren and their return as a team for the first time since 1979. I talked to my buddy Colton Herta, who was the fastest rookie. I think he was fifth overall on the timesheet, but his fastest speed without a toe was the fastest overall, even beating 2017 winner Takuma Sato, who was on top of the vet board. So, you know, it was a learning experience for sure, because I haven't been in that environment before. But I'd like to think I provided some pretty good coverage, all things considered.
It was truly entertaining, and especially for those of us, I've usually been able to get down there, but was not able to get down there this week. But, you know, it really is nice when guys like you are out there, kind of, you know, we were able to see what's going on through your lens, and it was enjoyable. Certainly appreciate it, and so much more. With the social media, I mean, if you're not able to get at a race, you know, platforms like yours and other ones are really a truly way to see that. That was one thing I've always tried to do when I'm at a race is, especially if you're in the media center or out and about, is that you try and I think the most important thing for me to kind of get to the fans and that is to show the stuff that they're not showing on TV, to kind of give you that full, you know, picture. Some of the things that they're not focusing on, whether especially if I was doing doing tweets during a race or that, you know, some of the back markers, some of the stuff they're not showing on TV, and I appreciate certainly what you did too at Indianapolis, and looking forward to more stuff. What other things that kind of surprised you? Things that you might have seen or people or any other scuttlebutts you're hearing? And I want to talk about Porsche in the next question. So that's.
Well, speaking of engines, there was some scuttlebutt in the paddock that Chevy was being stingy with their engines. You may have noticed that a few drivers who you would have thought, you know, they've had their programs locked up for months now, like Pippa Mann, Pato O'Ward, Sage Karam, they weren't there. And apparently their teams had cars ready to go. They just didn't have an engine to put in them. And then, kind of spinning off of that, the man that we saw had a lot of mechanical issues was not Honda. early on in the season, it was Chevy. Mm-hmm. We had Max Chilton actually blow an engine. Fernando Alonso and J.R. Hildebrand were having electronics issues. So it wasn't a good look for the bow tie brigade. And conventional wisdom is that they have the best super speedway engine. So reliability could be a concern for them. I mean, we saw in 2017 that many of the fastest Hondas, when they had the best package, fell by the wayside in the race.
And I this was really interesting. You've been on top of this story about the manufacturer that possibly coming into the series. We've heard BMW, which makes a lot of sense, but now we're hearing another German manufacturer, aren't we?
Yes. Okay. So this has gotten more complicated. It got even more complicated last night because Racer ran a story saying this is not going to happen. But it was reported last night or yesterday that by Adam Stern of the SBJ, he's incredibly reliable. I've had him on the channel before. He's a guy who gets it right 99% of the time. Said that IndyCar was in talks with Porsche to bring them back to the series for the first time since 1990. I ran with that story yesterday, kind of did a bit of an editorial piece, kind of surprised. I think many of us were surprised that Porsche was looking at single-seater racing as legitimately as they have been recently, because, of course, they've got the confirmed Formula E program, and then you add this theoretical IndyCar program to it. That was a surprise. What has broken today, and something that I need to talk about later on today on my channel, is that Marshall Pruitt has come out and said that, yes, there are talks. They started in Daytona, but as far as he is aware at this point, they ended at Long Beach, and Porsche walked away from the table. Now, Pruitt claims that Porsche will not supply an IndyCar engine unless there is some sort of electrification, whether that's full electric or a hybrid, something like that. If they can't build something with some sort of electrification, they aren't interested. IndyCar isn't interested in writing rules for hybrids, and they don't want to force Chevy, Honda, and any other possible manufacturers to build a hybrid if they don't want to. So that seems like, at the moment, where everything stands.
Interesting. That is very that they would go in that direction, because, I mean, that's, I can see that in the future, but right now where the series is at, yeah, that doesn't, I can see them walking away because of that. And you think, you know, it's not only from a technology point of view, it would really put the other teams at the other manufacturers perhaps at a disadvantage, but also from price point of view. I think that would really significantly, short term, increase the price of racing in the IndyCar series, which is right now at a pretty decent place. It could be better, but it certainly has improved over the last 5 years, I think. So, David, any other final thoughts regarding the 500 test?
Well, it was just nice to see cars back on the track. I'm glad it didn't rain the entire day. It did the next day, so I'm glad they got some running in. I'm excited for the 500 this year. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what's going to happen, especially with the bump day, which, of course, we were talking about last week. You know, I will tell you that I think Fernando may be playing into that. When we start getting around to it on Sunday, he may be in that bottom three because Carlin Racing hasn't looked that great. McLaren has been getting support from them, and now there's a Chevy reliability problem. I think there could be a real shock on bump day, and that will be something to look forward to.
It certainly will. Are you going to be down in Indianapolis for the Grand Prix?
Yes, whole month. Planning on heading out, I think, on the 7th or 8th, and I'll be there. Not sure about press passes yet. There's a bit of a hiccup with whether or not what I can or cannot film with a press pass.
Right.
Because NBC has some things. So I may be covering it as a fan, but I may be able to get better coverage to my viewers and those of you who may be interested in watching as a fan. So we'll just have to see how that all plays out.
Excellent. We will chat about that off the air in the next couple of days, and I'm looking forward to seeing you down in Indianapolis. So thank you, and appreciate your flexibility today, too, with the Packers and everything that's going on with the NFL draft, because if in Wisconsin...
Yeah, what's the deal? Getting bumped for the NFL? Come on!
Packers rule They're in the state of Wisconsin.
Come on.
So thank you, David, and appreciate you coming on the show. We will chat again soon. David Land, make sure to check out his YouTube channel at David Land, L-A-N-D. Great stuff on YouTube. And also follow him on Twitter at DLAND91. Of course, 91 for Buddy Lazier. So we will chat more with you in the coming weeks as we get closer to the Indianapolis 500. Coming up next on the Final Inspection Show, Eddie Lapine from RacingNation.com. We'll talk a little F1 action coming up on the Final Inspection Show. And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda. Waiting for a call back from our buddy Eddie Lapine from RacingNation.com. Meanwhile, final qualifying for Formula One at the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, or as they call it, Mitch, the Baku Grand Prix. If you can't say Azerbaijan. So you just kind of mumble it and say it real quick. Azerbaijan.
What is it called? Not the country, but the...
Oh, Baku.
Is that French or something?
Baku, it's Eastern Europe. It's over by Turkey, if I recall.
Well, I kind of know where... Azerbaijan, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it was Eastern Europe or Western Russia, somewhere in there. Isn't it one of the countries that... When the Berlin Wall fell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I kind of knew where it was.
And once again, Mercedes on the front row. Valtteri Bottas still edging Lewis Hamilton in the final seconds of Q3 qualifying. And so your front row is all Mercedes. And then Sebastian Vettel, who did made a valiant attempt to knock Hamilton off the front row and at least to get a Ferrari in the front row, which is very important at this track. Unfortunately, was unable to. He qualified third with Max Verstappen filling out the second row. Sergio Perez, good run for him in the Racing Point, the former Force India car, qualifying fifth with Daniel Kvyat, who's always run well at the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, qualifying sixth. Lando Norris, once again, McLaren kind of making with Honda making inroads in Formula One, getting better a little bit every week, qualifying seventh with the Alpha team behind him with Antonio Giovinazzi and Kimi Räikkönen and Charles Leclerc 10th, rounding out your top 10. Unfortunately, Leclerc having an incident in a rare act of honesty, Mayor Mitch. They asked him what happened, and he goes, well, I was on medium tires, and I braked where I would because I thought I had soft tires on. He missed his braking point, went into the wall.
A little bit of humility from a professional racer?
Young driver who has not learned how to lie like a good, well-versed Wiley veteran Formula One driver. So.
And that's across sports. Yeah. I mean, that really is.
Pretty much, yes. So yeah,
you
know, he spoke.
Hey, you've won it. You've lost 7 out of 8. Oh, we're fine. You know, just need to do this, that, and we'll be good. Well, you're in dead last. I mean, the Brewers. Here's an example. You know,
exactly.
Lost 7 out of 8 until last night was a nice win, but they were the a bats, mess for a little bit there.
The bats finally woke up in their 10-2 win over the net
against Nets. Jacob DeGrom of all people, of course, too.
So. It doesn't get much easier though with Syndergaard today on the mound.
No.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And when is the On Deck Show?
5 o'clock coming up tonight. I believe Ryan Horvat is in to get you set for first pitch. Also, Horvat and Bart Winkler do their Friday night draft show last night. So you can go back and listen to that at 1057fmthefan.com. That's
a lot of content on the draft out there. In fact,
Thursday
night
Mike Clemens
shows.
Is out too as well. And, you know, obviously working around the clock pretty much this weekend. So, obviously, a ton of stuff on the draft on the website.
And he'll have something on their latest pick. So on Kike from A&M, the defensive
Kingsley
line.
Kike, yes, 150th pick, defensive end from Texas A&M, in case you missed it.
So Mike Clemens will be posting that as soon as we get that from Green Bay, so lots of stuff. I tell you what, let's take a break here, and with the Packers at the 150th pick, that kind of put us behind here. Let's take a quick break here. We'll wind things up on the Final Inspection Show.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. Make sure to check out greatlakesdragway.com. for all the latest news. Unfortunately, today they are closed because of weather, but make sure you also check out Great Lakes Dragway on their Facebook page for all the latest updates. You can also do that with the Final Inspection Show, too. Make sure you check out TFI, the Final Inspection Show, on Facebook. Please like us, too. We certainly appreciate that. And while you're at it, you're a Packer fan, check us out, too. Green and Gold, the Green and Gold Then and Now podcast on Facebook. Please like us on Facebook too, and also, of course, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, for all the latest updates and ads. Speaking such as draft picks, in case you missed us earlier, Packers had their 150th pick while we were on the air. It is Kingsley Kike, a defensive lineman from Texas A&M. So it'll be interesting to see how he develops as a Packer.
Guess who went one pick after him?
Who's that?
Andrew Van Ginkle from Wisconsin.
Really?
Yep. So you had a Badger go about five picks before. Well, I guess it was almost 10 picks before.
The linebacker went, I think, right?
Yep, Ryan Connolly, and then another linebacker right after the Packers picked. Is it Van Hinkle or Van Ginkle? So the G.
Van Ginkle.
He's from Iowa. I'm not sure. Originally. So he's not from, like, Germany or anything. So.
And the one guy I thought that would be an intriguing pick was the quarterback from Alabama.
Yeah.
Who actually went to the Patriots. So.
In the fourth round, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder
late
if
in the
he,
fourth round.
If he would have slipped to the 150, I wonder if the Packers would have grabbed him. Because not necessarily as an heir apparent to Rodgers, but I think he would have definitely been a good, viable backup. I always liked the kid. The kid is known as an accurate passer, and I think the Patriots really got a good get there.
Yeah, Patriots seem to get richer in the draft, don't they, all the time? But, so it's Stidham. I mean, that would have been a guy I would have thought about, too, in the fourth round, somewhere in there. I mean, that way you can develop a guy a la Brett Hundley, who they took, I believe, in the fifth round a few years back.
And who I liked.
Whether or not he developed or not,
when the Packers drafted him, I used to watch a lot of Pac-10 games,
sure,
you know, at night, and I liked the pick. I thought, you know, this is the kid that, you know, we could develop.
Yeah.
Now maybe in hindsight, maybe, you know, seeing what we know about Mike McCarthy and that, maybe he wasn't the quarterback
whisperer.
Yeah.
That he was, you know.
So,
advertising himself as
Talladega picks, and I'd like to thank Dennis Michelson from DMike Media for coming on. He's going to go with Joey Logano. We're going to do two picks this week. We're doing your favorite and then a long shot pick. He went with Joey Logano as his favorite, and long shot pick Menard, who friend of the show, and Jeff Orlowski was also on, and actually did the pick at 150 live on the show. He's going to go with Clint Boyer and Ty Dillon. And Jeff, is he in studio next week?
Jeff should be.
Yeah.
I believe so.
And then Mitch, who are you going with? Was it Keselowski?
Let's see here. I'll go with, Brad Keselowski.
And then your long shot pick was David Reagan?
Jimmy Johnson. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'll go David Reagan.
And I'm going to miss the garbage with the soda. I'm going to go with Ricky Stenhouse as my favorite pick, who's actually done quite well. And he's averaging, I think, in the top five of restrictor play tracks. And Matt DiBenedetto as my long shot pick, who was doing very, very well at Daytona. until he ran into some issues there. So
no Kevin Harvick's here on the final inspection show.
Surprised.
This usually there's one of them.
Yeah, he's been a little bit off this year, so it's been all Penske. Penske has been the team. So and then we have Brewers coming up later today.
A little bit of Brewers coverage tonight, yes. 5 o'clock, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. Getting you set for game two out at Citi Field. They had a 2.5-plus hour rain delay last night. So that,
I really did
that
think
game that went into Saturday morning. So it's their second game of the day, I guess you could argue. I mean, at that point, why even play the game? You're going to have a 3-hour rain delay and the game starts at 9:50 local time?
You know why? Because that's when New York wakes up. They're like, we're going to hit some after hours.
There's like 1,000 people at that game last night. There was nobody there. You could hear that lady screaming after every had to be a Brewer fan.
Or if it's in Cincinnati, it's the woo.
Yeah. Sound like vuvuzelas.
So
Why even play the game though? At that point,
it's just, you wonder if the,
why not
call
start
it early and then just do the doubleheader.
Start a game at noon Eastern.
What's your opinion of the that split doubleheader? You know, they don't do the old traditional doubleheaders
anymore. I think they don't like doing them anymore.
Yeah.
It's got to be something where you would know this better than me. You know, 30 years ago they did it all the time, right?
All the time,
wasn't it? Well, I mean, it was built into the schedule.
It was built into the schedule, so.
Which you never.
But now with I think it's the TV packages too though.
Yeah.
You know, you have Fox Wisconsin, and you have all these people. I mean, back then, not all the games were on TV. You know, it wasn't unusual for a few games not to be on. It'd be a 100 games TV television mm-hmm. schedule of that. We're talking, you know, late 80s and that. But now, yeah, it's. The show must go on, as they say. So, yeah, late night, but a good game for the Brewers. 10-2 win. So, it'll be interesting to see what they do today. Who's Syndergaard's pitching
Syndergaard against Brandon Woodruff. So, hopefully, Woody can get back on track.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see.
Hopefully, somebody gets through 5 innings.
He's my last remaining pitcher on my fantasy team. I have 3 Brewer pitchers on my 2 fantasy
teams. Gave up
teams.
On all of them, huh?
I got Woodward. He's my last. Obi-Wan, you're my last hope. So thanks again for Dennis Michelson for coming on the show, David Land, and Eddie Lapine. We'll have him on next week. So looking forward to chatting with those guys. And Jeff Orlowski back in hosting the show. Mayor Mitch, thank you once again.
You bet. Fun
Appreciate
as always.
Coming on again. You're listening to the Final Inspection Show brought to you by Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.